You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints daily podcast covering your New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. On today's episode, we're going to start off with some news and notes that you need to know, starting with Alvin Kamara making ESPN's top 10 running back list. We'll talk about where he ranked and whether or not it was an appropriate spot for him. And we'll also take a look at a very important deadline for New Orleans that is just 2 days away. Then in our second segment, we're going to get to your questions from Twitter, including an early look at some potential postseason awards, whether or not the Richard Sherman buzz is worth paying attention to, and of course, lots of questions about uniforms as well. And then we'll wrap up with your questions from Facebook, including who you think and who I think will be the first New Orleans Saint to score a touchdown in 2021. Think about that, and we'll talk about it all on today's episode. As always, I am your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, co-managing editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL Podcast. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Alright, family, kicking off today's episode of Locked On Saints with a quick look at Alvin Kamara, who made the ESPN top 10 running backs list, and of course, who would be an absolute fantasy jewel for you, so make sure you check out the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast with Vinny Iyer as well. But he ends up making this list here in the top 5, no, in the top 3, no, in the top 2, but he is not number 1. He ends up being number 2 on this list, and I truly think that that's an appropriate spot for him. Number one on the list is Derrick Henry, who, of course, just finished with 17 touchdowns and over 2,000 rushing yards, the second Tennessee Titans player to do that. Not many have done it in the NFL's history. So I think it's hard to take Derrick Henry and say, hey, you're not the number one running back in the NFL, even though Alvin Kamara does a little bit more in terms of his versatility, right? He does more than Derrick Henry in the receiving game. I don't think there's any stretch there. I don't think Tyler Roland of Locked On Titans would be upset with me saying that. Like, that makes perfect sense. So I think that it kind of depends too about who or what you value in a running back. Do you value the bell cow running back that Derrick Henry is, that you could rely on him for 16 games and to run the ball 300 times a season? Or do you like the guy that can catch 81 plus passes in his first 4 NFL seasons? He caught 81 exactly over the course of his first 3 seasons and then caught over that in 2020, and is the only player in NFL history to have 500 plus both rushing and receiving yards in their first 4 NFL seasons. No other player has ever done that, and he was tied with some pretty recognized company before that with only 3 seasons to get started. So, and that included, by the way, a down 2019 season where he only scored like 6 touchdowns. So I think if you look at Alvin Kamara and everything that he's done here up until this point in his career, it makes perfect sense that he would be the number 2 running back. He was number 4 last year behind Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Ezekiel Elliott. And I thought that was too low for him. I think Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley at that time, both before their injuries that happened in the 2020 season, maybe made a little bit of sense, but I didn't think he deserved to be behind Ezekiel Elliott, who's pretty one tone at this point in his career. But Alvin Kamara is somebody that you continue to find new parts of his game every season. And I think we'll see that again here in 2021, especially if we see him line up in the slot and as a receiver a bit more with the new quarterback situation that the Saints are going to have on their hands. So I think that you're going to see a season here in 2021 to where, you know, he ends up being relied on quite a bit, along with Latavius Murray, who should be a little bit more of a presence in the passing game as well. But for all intents and purposes, Alvin Kamara as the number 2 running back going into 2021 makes perfect sense. Now, getting to this point in the offseason, not easy for the New Orleans Saints. They had to make a ton of trims, which include not only cuts, but also restructures, extensions to knock down 2021 salary cap, things like that, in order to get under the salary cap, as they were over $100 million before they got to the new league year that they needed to trim down. But in the midst of all that, they still managed to hand off the franchise tag to their star safety and a player that they think is very important, not only to their defense, but the team as a whole, in Marcus Williams. He right now sits on a franchise tag for $10.6 million at the safety position. The New Orleans Saints have a very important deadline coming up at the end of the day, in terms of the end of the league day, 4 p.m. in New York time on Thursday, which is the deadline to get Marcus Williams extended and off of that franchise tag. Now, does that mean that if they don't get him extended, that he won't be on the team in 2021? No, not at all. All that that means, if they don't get that long-term deal done before the deadline, is that he'll play the 2021 season on the franchise tag and become a free agent again at the end of the season. That's all that it means. However, if they get the long-term deal done, then they can alleviate any concerns about him potentially signing elsewhere as he gets closer and closer to what is essentially going to be the prime of his career. He's not there yet in terms of his age. He's still pretty young. And so there's an opportunity for him to go out there and look for another contract. So the Saints obviously would like to get that done. And according to Brad Spielberger, who does a ton of great salary cap work and contract work over at PFF, he actually gave the Saints and Marcus Williams the highest chance out of the seven remaining franchise tags that haven't yet reached a long-term extension to get an extension done at 55%, which is better than 50%, which is all that really matters. He had sort of looked at this as a four-year, $60+ million salary cap or contract, rather. And I think that that would be appropriate. And the Saints, of course, would build that in such a way that they could knock down the $10.6 million franchise tag price that he's currently sitting on here ahead of 2021, and then give themselves some additional cap space, even though currently right now they're in a pretty good spot, sitting at $11.6 million, according to the NFL Players Association public salary cap report. Now, the Saints can essentially use that, continue to stockpile it. Whatever they should decide is essentially the way, obviously, that they'll go. That's a weird statement, but you know what I mean. Like, they'll make the best decision in terms of how to utilize that money. That could mean bringing in a new player. That could mean stockpiling it and keeping it for emergency funds throughout the 2021 season. It could also mean keeping as much of it as they can to roll over to 2022, where there will be another big salary cap situation that they'll have to work their way out of. Not as big as the 2021 offseason, but still something that they'll need to pay attention to. So a lot of good options in terms of how to utilize that money. But I'll tell you what, man, with the amount of salary cap that they have available and the amount of draft capital that they're expected to have, I'm really interested to see what they're going to do throughout the rest of this offseason going into 2021. But first of all eyes are on Marcus Williams and the impending deadline to get that extension done. As Doug Mouton said the other day when he visited us here from WWL TV, deadlines spur action. And of course, if New Orleans Saints continue to free up that salary cap space, they may be able to go out there and make some more moves. We've talked about what some of the good moves will be. In our third segment today, we'll talk about what the worst move they could make is as they go into the 2021 season. But coming up next, we're going to get to your questions from Twitter, talking a little bit about Richard Sherman, jerseys, and an early look at some off-season awards for the New Orleans Saints. We got all that coming up for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints. I know we're all craving football these days, but there's still a lot of great action going on across the world of sports. We got a really kind of strange night of UFC the other night. We also got the Home Run Derby last night. The All-Star Game for the MLB is tonight. And of course, the NBA Finals continue to roll along. And if you want to get in on any of that action or even more, because you also have reality TV, award shows, television, you can also bet on. You can check out all of it over at betonline.ag, our exclusive online betting partners. They're fantastic, and there's so much that you can get involved in over on the website. I got in on the Home Run Derby last night. Pete Alonso getting the win there at plus 500. Of course, I bet on Shohei Ohtani. I did it wrong, but that doesn't mean that you have to. Go ahead and do it better than I do it by going over to betonline.ag, sign up for a free account, and when you put down your first deposit, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to get a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Huda Nation, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And now it is time for our Twitter Tuesday to get to your questions from, you guessed it, Twitter. So I'm going to bring them up on the screen here. But if you listen on the podcast, I appreciate you. And don't worry, I'm coming through and I'm going to read the questions as well. Imagine that. All right. At John Tames 20 asked, do the Saints have positions besides cornerback that would be worth trading for? You know, the one place that kind of makes sense is defensive interior. Maybe you look to a team like the Vikings who have like four or five of the same nose tackle, and maybe you could go that route in order to bring somebody in to take over Malcolm Brown's reps. But if you feel pretty comfortable with Shai Tuttle, with Ryan Glasgow, with Malcolm Roach, and of course David Onyemata, then maybe you don't go out there and spend draft capital on a non-premier position. For me, it seems like cornerback would be the place that would make the most sense to make a trade for. Outside of that, I'm not really certain. Maybe you could look at wide receiver. That's a premier position, one that would make sense to trade for. Maybe linebacker again, but I feel like they just invested draft picks there, so I don't know that they would invest draft picks in a trade to bring somebody in. So I don't know. It's a tough question to answer because I'm not sure that there is actually one. But if I needed to pick one, I would probably say defensive tackle is the one that makes the most sense. And so you look at some of these rosters that are kind of bloated at that position. Michael Sachs, at Michael Sachs 2 on Twitter, asks, when will we see the next extension from Marshon Lattimore or Marcus Williams? So again, Marcus Williams' deadline is in 2 days. So if you're going to see it, then it's going to happen within the next pair of days. If you're not going to see it, if you don't see it over the next 2 days, it ain't going to happen until after the season. Marshon Lattimore is a really interesting one because I'm not quite sure if you're able to put in a stipulation in a contract extension that says that if a player gets suspended, then their guaranteed money doesn't convert to non-guaranteed money. If you can't do that, then it seems to make sense to wait and see what the league does about the offseason arrests before giving him a contract extension. It would kind of be a crappy thing that would happen to where you give him a contract extension that includes guaranteed money, and then he ends up with a suspension by the end of the offseason for the beginning, you know, first couple of games of the season or whatever it may be, and then all of a sudden his guaranteed money becomes non-guaranteed. You don't want to do that to a player, and I'm sure that an agent wouldn't want to rush the player into that. I don't know if you can build parameters in the contract that protect against that, nor do I know that an NFL team would be willing to build those parameters either, or even the NFL league would be willing to build in those parameters. So because of all that, I'm not surprised to see that there hasn't been an extension done for Marshon Lattimore at this point. But if it's going to get done, it seems like it could be something that happens either during the season, kind of like what we saw with DeMario Davis at the beginning of last year, 2 games in, or after the season, after he plays and potentially earns a bigger contract than what he can get right now. So we'll see exactly how all of that pans out. Next up, we've got at SaintsFan467, who of the Saints offense has the best chances of winning an NFL award, i.e. Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, and why? So I'll go with those three. Just a little bit of a spoiler alert, SaintsFan467 actually listed the three players that I'm listing in his tweet. So I removed them so that it wasn't an immediate spoiler. But if you've seen the tweet, then you already know my answers here. But Offensive Player of the Year seems very simple to me, Alvin Kamara. He was really an MVP conversation at one point last season. And then it kind of trickled down a bit in terms of the production, but still very much an Offensive Player of the Year award. Makes a lot of sense for him, and I think he'll be able to replicate that, especially with the 17th game in 2021. So I think that that would be a place where you could really see Alvin Kamara end up getting postseason award consideration. As for comeback player of the year, that's a simple one for me. I will say Michael Thomas, right? Michael Thomas is an easy one. He's the guy that is coming off the injuries, just had a down season last year with all the injuries and everything, and then now has the ability to come in and maybe light up the league in a way that we haven't seen him be able to produce before, with an offense that may look to stretch the field a little bit more and utilizing him in that area of the game where he hasn't really been used since maybe 2016, 2017, and then a couple plays here and there in 2018. I'll go to Defensive Player of the Year next. I feel like maybe Cam Jordan is most likely, because of his position, that award tends to go to edge rushers. So I would say that maybe he would be the guy that has the greatest chance to get that done. And then maybe if you see, I mean, you would have to see some type of a massive breakout season from, you know, Marcus Davenport or from Peyton Turner coming in his rookie year. So I wouldn't put any money there. But maybe Cam Jordan, coming off of his offseason surgery from last year, feels very rejuvenated this year. He would be the one that would make the most sense to point to. And then MVP, there's only one answer here. It's Jameis Winston. Even if Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, I don't think that he's going to get the respect across the league to be considered for an MVP. I mean, that would be so incredibly not the NFL's brand. For first of all, a New Orleans Saint to win MVP, which we've seen them work very hard to make sure doesn't happen in the past. Hello, 2009, 2011. And then also the fact that it is a dual threat quarterback that nobody believed in that came in as an undrafted free agent and that Sean Payton coached up and turned into an offensive weapon. So I don't think that if Taysom Hill wins the quarterback position that he would get a lot of consideration with MVP unless he absolutely balled out. Jameis Winston, though, could be that guy. Jameis Winston also, though, could be in contention for comeback player of the year. But really, when it comes down to MVP, it's really just about the position. It's a quarterback award. Those are the quarterbacks. Those are the guys that are going to get the consideration of anybody on this roster. And then we're going to go to my good friend, Cole Weinstein. Remember the name. Remember the name, by the way, because he's going to be incredible in the media. And then Nick Jennings, another name to remember as well. Is the Richard Sherman to New Orleans buzz real? Well, yeah, I think that it is. I mean, I think that the buzz is that, and you've seen it recycled over and over and over again for likes and everything like that. But like, this is old news, right? The New Orleans Saints and Richard Sherman have talked. That is a thing. We all know that that is a thing. And they will continue to talk until the New Orleans Saints make a decision to either sign him or go elsewhere. I actually think that going elsewhere is what is holding this up. I think that the deal with Richard Sherman hasn't been struck yet because the Saints might be interested elsewhere first. And so they're exploring potentially that option. $11.6 million is more than enough to sign Richard Sherman for a one-year deal. It's more than enough. So why hasn't it been done? I think it's because New Orleans is looking at something else, but we'll see. We'll see how it all ends up playing out. I don't know what that other thing is. It's just pretty clear to me that they're clearly interested elsewhere. And that's why that signing hasn't gotten done just yet, but it still could get done. And finally, as we wrap up this segment, before we get to our Facebook questions to talk about the worst type of move that the Saints could make this offseason, let's go first to Brandon Garrick. Why are the Saints moving so slow in acquiring another player? I think it's because all attention right now might be going to Marcus Williams and getting that contract extension done, or at least making best efforts to get it done here before the deadline on Thursday. I truly think that that right now was the extension to Ryan Ramczyk took a lot of brain space, and then now the extension to Marcus Williams is the focus. I know that the Saints want to keep him. We've been told that over and over again. Marcus Williams should want to stick around. It doesn't seem like he doesn't by any means. And so I think that that is priority number one for the New Orleans Saints at this moment. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to get to first player to score a touchdown in 2021 and the worst move that the Saints could make going into the 2021 season. Lots left on today's episode of Locked On Saints. And as we ramp up to talk about the worst decision that the Saints could potentially make this offseason, let's talk a little bit about the best decision that you can make right now. Outside of listening to the show, thank you very much for being here, of course, and as always. But I also want you to go and check out our good friends over at BuiltBar.com. Now, listen to me. I'm telling you, and I'm not lying about this. I love these protein bars. You've heard people come on and co-sign about the protein bars. You hear us talk about them all across the network. It's not just because they're a great supporter of our network. It's because these protein bars are absolutely incredible. Look at the smile on my face just from talking about these things. Go to BuiltBar.com, best tasting protein bars on the market. Stop messing around with those disgusting lumps of coal that they're trying to sell you elsewhere that they call protein bars, and go ahead and get this protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Listen to some of these flavors. Coconut almond, coconut as well. If you don't like the almonds, no problem. Mounds or Almond Joy, basically, they got you covered. Peanut butter brownie, mint brownie, raspberry, all of it covered in 100% chocolate, but you're only talking about 4 or 5 grams of sugar, despite the fact that you're getting 17, 18 grams of protein and 100% enjoyment while eating a protein bar for the first time in your life. Go and check them out over at BuiltBar.com. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15, use the numerals, so you can get 15% off of your order at BuiltBar.com. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode with some more of your questions from Facebook. Didn't get a chance to get to all of them on Facebook Friday. We pushed off Mailbag Monday with all the cornerback talk, so wanted to make sure that I got to these as we wrapped up our Twitter Tuesday. So let's go ahead and get to our first question. This actually came from a couple of people. My boy Norberto asked about it. Joseph Zapata, Kelly Lodoveris all asked about it. Which throwback or helmet would you want this upcoming season? Now, that was Joseph's specific question, but Kelly also asked about which three jerseys I would choose. So the easy ones to pick here to start off with, like modern day jerseys, are the black on black as well as the color rush. Those are simple. Although I would love to see, in terms of alternate helmet, which Joseph asked about here, some type of a helmet that goes specifically with the color rush. I don't know if it's white with the gold fleur-de-lis and the gold stripes, black outline or something like that. I don't know. I'm I'm not a designer, but something that goes with the jerseys would be pretty dope. And so that would be the thing I would look for like a new helmet. But it comes to the throwbacks, I'm a little torn because I love the 67s, right, which have the gold stripes. But I also love the, I think it's late 80s, 88, if I remember correctly, with the bigger, blockier numbers, particularly the black jersey with the gold outline on the lettering, had the Louisiana patch with the Fleur de Lis over New Orleans on the shoulder. I love those. I can picture Ricky Jackson in them every time that I think about it. The Dome Patrol, I picture in those jerseys all the time. So I'd love to see DeMario Davis rocking those jerseys. You know what I mean? So I think that like those two are really the throwbacks that I absolutely love. If I had to pick one or the other, my heart wants to say the 67, but let me say it this way. One half of my heart wants to say the 67, but I think I'm going to have to go with the 88 later on down the line because of that Louisiana patch. I just love that Louisiana patch so much. So those are my three jerseys that I would keep, that 88 throwback and then the color rush and then the black on blacks. By the way, shout out to Deuce Windham for realizing the other day that the New Orleans Saints were apparently the first team to wear black on black jerseys back in, I think it was 2006. Going up against the Carolina Panthers in a game where Aaron Brooks led a two-minute drill on a game-winning drive on an outside toss to Ricky Williams, who bent the edge and then ended up getting there to the pylon. So pretty great stuff there. And then the final ones being, of course, Color Rush and then those 88s, I think is the way that I would go. All right, let's go to Joseph McKenzie's question now. Who will be the player to score the first touchdown for the New Orleans Saints this season? I really want to go. There's two ways I want to go here. I'm going to say Taysom Hill. And I know y'all are probably mad, but I'm just going to say Taysom Hill. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he wins the starting quarterback position. It just means that he comes in the red zone, runs a QB power against the Green Bay Packers, and then gets a touchdown off of it. I really think that that could happen. And that could be Sean Payton's thing, right? Like, yeah. Jameis Winston, like just imagine Jameis Winston wins the starting quarterback position, but then Taysom Hill scores the first touchdown of the season. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. So I think that that's probably the way that I would go would be Taysom Hill. I really wanted to go Alvin Kamara there for a second, but I'm going to go Taysom Hill because I think it's funnier. All right, let's go to Jack Allen here. Worst move that the New Orleans Saints could make for the remainder of the offseason. The absolute worst move that they could make is not making a move at all at the cornerback position. Now, listen, y'all know how much I like Paulson Adebo. I just think that he needs time. And I think that the worst thing that can happen to a rookie is getting rushed into playing when they're not yet up to speed. I think you want to give him time, let him work with Chris Richard, get up to NFL speed, get back into the swing of things at the position, let him try a little bit of nickel corner, let him try a little bit of outside corner in camp and practice and all that stuff. Let him develop. Don't rush him into having to play. I think that that, and then of course, starting Patrick Robinson, who's, you know, 33, 32, and then also, you know, was good in his starts last season. He's the logical person to start opposite Marshon Lattimore right now, but can you trust him for 17 games? I just don't know. And can he stay healthy for 17 games? I also don't know. So I think making a move at the cornerback position would be the smartest thing for them to do, and not making it could be the worst thing for them to do going in. Jesse Kale Williamson asked an interesting question here. Pat McAfee alluded to a Jameis Winston rumor going around, particularly there was something that was like touching on substance or something like that, and asked if I had heard anything. Nick Underhill actually addressed this the other day. It was actually an old report that somehow resurfaced from TMZ that people thought was current, and it was found to be nothing back then. So it is still nothing now. So nothing to worry about at this time. All right, y'all, I'm actually going to add in one more question here that we got while we were recording. This one comes from Logan Freeman at @daddy_Freeman4. Happy belated Father's Day to you. Who starts opposite of Cam Jordan? Now, this is a really great question because it gives us two tangents to go down. The first of which is who gets the actual start opposite Cam Jordan? Unless an injury sets in, it should be Marcus Davenport. If he's healthy at the beginning of the season, Marcus Davenport's the guy that gets the first snap opposite Cam Jordan. But we have to remember, too, that whoever gets the first snaps on the defensive line might be listed as starter, but it doesn't guarantee that they're going to get the most playing time. So it'll be worth watching is really what I want to say here. It's going to be really, really interesting to see, even if Marcus Davenport does get the first snap of the week one game against the Green Bay Packers on the defensive side opposite Cam Jordan, will he have a higher snap percentage than Peyton Turner? Will he have a higher snap percentage than Carl Granderson? Now, some of that comes down to health and availability, but then some of it may come down to play. And I think that it may be a bit of an indicator about what the true trajectory of Marcus Davenport, who's working to answer some questions here over the course of this season, and then will enter his fifth year option next season doing the same. But when it comes down to it, remember that whoever gets a start in week one or even throughout a game doesn't necessarily indicate who's going to be the person with the most snaps at the position by the time that the game or the season is over. All right, y'all. Thank you very much for all the fantastic questions here for another episode of Locked On Saints. Love getting our mailbags. And coming up tomorrow, it is midweek fundamentals on Wednesday. And of course, we'll continue to watch Marcus Williams and see if there's any updates there. And we're getting the wide receiver list top 10 from ESPN. So for our midweek fundamentals, we'll take a look at route concepts to get our sort of tangent started when it comes to wide receivers. And of course, we continue on here 5 days a week throughout the offseason. We still have defensive line to look at for projections into 2021 and getting you up to date and caught up with every name on the New Orleans Saints roster. We're almost done there, and we're almost to camp right around the corner. As always, y'all, I appreciate you for being here. Now that you're done here, go and check out the Locked On Today podcast. Get all the news and notes that you need from around the world of sports in less than 20 minutes. I will see y'all tomorrow. Thank you very much, as always, for everything that you do. Be sure to like, subscribe, turn on notifications, rate, review, follow, however it is you're taking in the show. I appreciate all of your support. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Rawshackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them and trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.